Welcome to episode 452 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps us make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Donna, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander Travel agents, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. Beauty, history, charm, and some of the most amazing comfort food on the planet, Poland has it all. In March, Lindsay went on a solo journey to experience it all firsthand, and she is here to share and inspire you to add Poland to your bucket list. So let's get started. So why March? It's kind of cold in March.
It is kind of cold in March, but it lined up with my travel. You guys know I like to make the most out of that air from Seattle. So,
Yes.
So why Poland?
It was someplace I had never been, and I wanted to go. One of the luxuries and the curses of traveling a lot is you go to a lot of the same places. It's always new and amazing. The same time, you know, at the same time, I miss that wonder and that newness. So I'm always trying to add, especially if I'm going someplace like right after this was the River Cruise Conference, which was of course in Hungary and Budapest, but I spent a lot of time there. So I kind of wanted to go someplace that I hadn't been that was completely new to me. And I think that doesn't get enough attention. Poland was on my radar for a long time, and I just kept pushing it off because there's all these big, attractive, you know, shiny countries that are kind of surrounding it. That are, oh, I could go to Prague. I could go to these cities. And I think sometimes that when the focus is on that, you miss gems like this. And there were some very serious reasons why I wanted to go to. I did end up going to Auschwitz and had been saying I was going to do that for a long time and stop putting it off. But there's so much to see and do and fall in love with in Poland. And I was only there for a week, so I only scratched the surface. This is definitely, I'll be going back for sure. But it was wonderful. Started off in Old Town in Warsaw. Came into Warsaw late at night, and it had just snowed. So there's this thin layer of this sparkling white snow at night with the street lights, and it just looked really picturesque, like I was walking into an old movie. very beautiful.
So you have several countries kind of listed here. Did you spend the night in all of them, or did you?
Those are cities.
Sorry, I meant cities. You know what I meant. But did you have like a home base and then do day trips, or how did you tackle this?
No. So the transportation per se around Poland is not as user-friendly as some of the other destinations in Europe. So I had to be a little mindful. I did start off and started off in Warsaw and went to Krakow. And out of Krakow, I did kind of use Krakow as a little bit more of a home base. But I spent a few days in Warsaw and then went to Krakow and used that, did day tours, day trips. I think this is a great destination to go to if you're going to utilize some touring, whether or not you're with the same tour company the whole time, or if you're piggybacking a couple different tours, because transportation in some of these areas is a little hit or miss. So,
But there's some great companies that do private tours where you've got a private driver for the whole week or the 10 days or whatever that you're going. So,
correct. There are some great companies that offer you private options, but I was going as a solo and I wanted to kind of explore and meet people. I love meeting people when I travel, so it was very nice to do that. And I made some friends with some wonderful people from England and from Spain, from the UK and from Spain.
Not any from Poland?
a lot of great people from Poland too, in the tours I was in. So I really wanted to touch on all the old town. I like street food, so that was kind of my focus, was to street food and comfort food. And I'd read somewhere that you could have a different soup every day for an entire month in Poland. And It's completely true.
Well, that is definitely soup weather.
Because of the mountains, because it's a very working class, very down to earth culture and history there. So a lot of the food that you're going to find is that kind of, it feels like your grandma's hugging you when you're eating it, type of made with love food. And I did eat at one of the oldest places to eat in, I think, all of Europe, and it was in I'm gonna mess up the name of this restaurant, but it's Fouquier. It looks inappropriate when you read it, but it's Fouquier restaurant, the oldest restaurant in Warsaw. So basically, they had like the traditional, like the dumplings are the traditional, but and I know this is not a Polish thing, but the borscht was like so amazing. I didn't want to have it anywhere else because I was really worried that I wasn't going to be able to recreate that that flavor.
Did you have any pierogies?
I did. I had pierogies, but I have their dumplings, and I had what was it? Veal. I had the venison liver pate was good. I had the I didn't have the veal dumplings, but I had like a little sampler of dumplings. I had, oh my gosh.
You know where they have a big Polish, like big neighborhoods and culture. You guys know what I'm gonna say, right?
Yeah, I know exactly.
Pittsburgh. It's but, true though. There are a lot of
there's a big Polish community in Pittsburgh.
Oh yes, there is. And actually, where my cousins live, they have a Polish club that has really cheap beer, and they have pierogi nights and sausage nights and stuff.
I will say, this is not. I don't know how they're so skinny, because this is not the place that you go to diet. They served my meal. They served my pierogies with like two little ramekins of, one was butter and one was literally bacon and lard.
Oh,
that sounds so yummy.
It was really good, but I could feel my arteries closing up.
So what you're saying is Ellie would find nothing to eat there.
Well, I think it would probably be, honestly, it probably would be a little hard. There probably not a whole lot of vegetarian options, but and I was blessed with like the perfect weather. I know March isn't there, but it was perfect. I'm from the Pacific Northwest. I like it a little cooler. I like to be comfortable rather than sweaty. So it was, having to have a light jacket or whatever was perfect. And we had like, the sun was shining. So the sky and all my pictures while I was there were just, it was incredible. It looked like paintings.
I think that's kind of the perfect weather to eat that kind of food, really.
Yeah. You don't want to be having like comfort food and hot soup when it's 90 degrees outside. It's not really comforting at that point.
Did you go to the salt mines?
I did. I went to the salt mines. I went to the salt mines. That was incredible. I did a bunch of walking tours. In Krakow, I did walking tours. Went and saw the Leonardo da Vinci's, which I've never seen. So it was really cool to see that. And here, there was nobody there. Like, you go to see Mona Lisa, and man, you can't even get to it. You're behind so many people. But this is incredibly rare piece of historic art that is so accessible where it is, and you can spend as much or as little time as you want there. It was so the opposite of the experience I had going to the Louvre or going to one of the bigger art museums, but it's really cool. I got to hear all the gossip and the history. So one of the things that drew me to Poland were all the stories. I love folk tales and storytelling. And I know you guys have heard me like gush about the German storytelling and all the things that kind of drew me in as a kid and captivated me. But there are a lot of stories. There's a lot of Polish yarns that have been woven. And in fact, when I was on one of the tours, the tour guys is talking about how a story, you know, they will just make up stories on the spot. And one of the stories, one of the most famous tour guides in Krakow had taken Rick Steves on a tour and just made up a story about the towers and why one tower is slightly taller than the other one. and it made it into like a book or something. It just made it up on the spot. But they do, they have these fantastic yarns that have been passed down to kind of explain why things are the way they are. And they're, even though they're not true, they're fanciful and they're entertaining and they kind of grab you. And so I was really intrigued by that and hearing of the folklore and the stories that went along with that little corner of the world. And the salt mines was amazing. I will say, lots and lots of steps down. You are going down the hallway. You do get to ride world's tiniest elevator. I think you're hitting the Guinness Book of World Records for how many people you can cram into an elevator. You're really getting that old world authentic experience there. Ooh. Coming back up, because you are really close to everybody else in the elevator going back up all those stories. But the salt can be a little slick.
Did you want to lick the walls?
No,
you do not want to lick the walls.
I didn't want to lick the walls. I did find it fascinating how salt used to be kind of like the currency. Mm-hmm. You were paid and I can't remember what it is, but even how we refer to money, the history of the terminology we use is somehow rooted in salt. And it's going to come to me after we record this, because this is how this always works. Like, I can always remember the things I want to say that would make me sound like I have a half of a functioning brain cell after we're done recording. But even some of our terminology is wrapped up in people would work and they would be paid in salt, because salt would, you know, keep your meat. It would keep your help you preserve your food source. So,
so you mentioned you kind of threw out accessibility, but how would you compare this city? I know Europe is not very accessible, but
I think some of the flatter parts, like in the Old Town or in maybe in Warsaw, maybe a little bit, but no, definitely not. This is definitely, you'd need some extra thought into accommodations and into navigating around. Salt mine, probably not good. They're very few, because there's this too many little places where you need steps. It's not like the elevator goes through all of the sections. Mm-hmm. It was very cool to see the story of the light show where they project the history, and that there's even a love story, a fairy tale about that too, about the daughter of the king or whatever, and the guy who wanted to impress her. And
so what about like ease of travel compared to other European cities? Do most people speak English? How easy was that to get around?
I didn't feel like, let's see. I think there are a lot of people there who speak English. I didn't feel at any point in time. The one big difference, and this is probably only because I was going from so many different parts of Europe. I was visiting so many parts of Europe consecutively that I noticed this. The transportation is probably about the one thing that I noticed that was just not quite. I mean, there are buses, but you're on a bus. you're on a train. You're on a bus. It was a little bit not where we're kind of used to it. And I think that might be why it's not quite on everybody's list, but I think it needs to be. It really needs to be. I mean, they've got the seaside towns, the history, this Old Town Krakow is one of the most beautiful, romantic looking, visually stunning cities. I mean, I would say I got just as much out of this visit as I did going to Prague, and that's saying a lot. Yeah. So and it's affordable.
Yeah,
that's one of the really that I just planned a trip for a client that is doing a private tour, and I was kind of shocked at how inexpensive it was, because it's kind of a hidden gem that people just don't know about.
It is a hidden gem, and I'd like to see their tourism grow, but hopefully it'll still stay like a little bit of a hidden gem for a while, because it was so in the pot. I didn't even talk about the pottery. The pottery is amazing, and it's so, again, so affordable. You can actually go and learn. You can go and do where you make your own pottery too.
That's why my clients are actually going over there for the pottery festival.
Yeah, for the pottery festival, there are music festivals. I ended my trip at this incredible spa. That was so where the most one of the most amazing pool bars I've ever been to outside. steam spa. So, lots and lots of. Oh, it went up to. Gonna butcher the name of this town, but gorgeous, gorgeous place to visit in the wintertime. Very popular. I kind of got it right after, so we didn't have the some of the Christmas decorations were still up, but we didn't have that Christmas traffic
in March. Yet. Really?
Yeah, they look like the tinsel and stuff up there. Oh. So after I went to Auschwitz and went to Krakow and Auschwitz and went to the salt mines, I went to Zakopane. And in on the way to Zakopane, we stopped at like it was in Koszalisto, Wittau. There's this little town where all of the buildings are these beautifully old carved wooden homes. I'm butchering the name of the town. Sorry, everyone from Poland. I love your country. I want to be allowed back in. Chacholo. But it was so neat. And I guess there's a little historical museum center. I didn't get to go in there because it's just got one lady that runs it, and she just decides whenever she's going to be open.
Nice.
So it's that kind of a beautiful little historic town, but not too far away from here is the mountain area. But before we got to the mountain area, we went and visited like a real old-timey sheep herders shed, and I bought a sheepskin. They were making the cheese on the griddle, which is just they serve this grilled cheese that's fantastic.
Almost like a raclette.
No, not like a raclette. It's like it gets a little hard on the outside, gets like the grill marks on it. And I at one point in time I was so proud of myself for remembering how to say the name, and I cannot remember how to say it.
You have to associate it with something. Make it rhyme.
Make it rhyme, and then I can remember.
So did they have Uber, or did you get around mostly by taxi? How was
So there was Bolt or their
like Hungary. Yeah.
Expensive. I will say that was probably the most expensive thing. Still affordable, but probably the most expensive thing. And then I used bus when I left. I took a bus from Krakow to Budapest.
Oh. How long did that take?
It was overnight. Because the train was going to take me forever. The train schedule just was not lining up for a favorable journey for me. So it was an overnight. Definitely worth it. I ended up being one of only four people on the bus. And the bus is a very common way to get around in this part of the world. It's very normal for people who are working or going to school in one area to go back and visit family on the bus. And they're clean. And it's not like we think of a bus in the U.S. and we think of like Greyhound. And oh my gosh, nobody wants to get on that. This is a little bit different. These were regional, but you can see some of the, you can get on and you can see like the capacity, and you have the ability to buy the seat next to you. So if you are not wanting to share your spot, so to speak.
So it's easy to like, just they, I guess, do they store your luggage under like a regular tour bus?
Okay. Yep. like a regular tour bus, put bags underneath, and you can get on. You can take a bag on with you, and there were power plug-ins, and there was a Wi-Fi code, but I will tell you, it was not good.
Yeah,
it was not a dependable Wi-Fi. Guba Zauka. This is gonna kill me. It's going to kill me that I can't remember this name of this beautiful mountain. But anyway, it was one of the most gorgeous scenes I've ever seen in my life, to look out and see the mountain range completely surrounding the area. Definitely worth going up there, even if you're not going to go skiing or sledding. And that being said, I could have gone skiing. There's a little ski school up there that you can kind of learn how to ski. There's a whole bunch of like local winter carnival activities up on the mountain. And so they have little booths. And my one complaint is I was out of season to get kielbasa.
Oh, you can get that in Pittsburgh.
Of course you can.
I mean, you know, I just had some.
They call it snow gubbing, snow tubing. So they had these, you could go up there, you could go snow tubing, and they had these little, like, you stand there with, you're holding your tube, the kids would stand there, and, like, the conveyor belt would take them up. They'd come back down, and there's, like, a ski school there. It's very, definitely worth visiting. And then Zarni Danajek is this giant spa that had indoor and outdoor areas that I went to at the end. And it was kind of a great way to round out my trip. I saw so much that I'm not doing it any justice, but it's so beautiful. And the food was so... I did see one funny little nod to American tourists and our love for ice in the gas station, or that, I guess you wouldn't call it, it's not a gas station, there's no gas station pumps, but in the little convenience stores, they have in the cooler, they have like what you'd see like a blizzard or something put in, or like an iced coffee with like a lid, mm-hmm. like this, the white plastic container, clear plastic container, full of ice cubes that you could buy for like the equivalent of $4.
Wow.
Clearly marketing to American tourists, because all the labeling on it was in English.
Did you pay $4 for a cup of ice?
I did not. I've been traveling long enough that I can live without it. Mm-hmm. Which is a big achievement for me, because I'm so addicted to ice at home.
Any good bars or...
Oh, tons of great bars. So there was one of the things that drew me to Poland is that they, like every other country in the world right now, is having a craft beer kind of movement explosion. There's a fantastic mixed cocktail place called Alchemist in Warsaw. There's a bunch of little like off the beaten path. Let's see. I was trying to remember the name of the... I want to say it's like a Polenka, but it's not called Polenka. Of their, I didn't care for it. The normal, it was like a lingonberry. It was like a berry or cherry flavored booze, but it tastes a little bit like cough syrup to me. It was very, very.
It was NyQuil. You just didn't know.
It probably was NyQuil, and they're just like, here you go, here. Here, tourists. The food was better in the smaller towns and the old town areas. I ate at so many fantastic little places. I even went to, they're in love with kebabs. So there's a lot of great like kebab places on the street that you kind of walk up, and street food is a thing here, which is any place in the world where street food is popular is going to be a draw. Like a moth. I'm like a moth to the street food. They have their pasties. I forget what they're called, but they're like donuts filled with jelly. And they're so good. Again, I have no idea how they're skinny, because they're the size of your head.
They're punch keys.
Punch keys, yes. They are amazing. And you can get them with powdered sugar. You get them with the glaze. You get them with berries inside. You get them with Nutella.
Oh, you just... That's my, you just... dialed my number.
Yeah, you name it, you can put it in there. The most incredible soup I've ever had in my whole life was this cabbage stew, and it had this like a hunk of ham in there that I wasn't expecting to be in there. I'd like literally in public almost wanted to pick up this bone and make sure I got every little piece off because it was so good. So much incredible food. I'm a big fan of comfort food, and but you know, there's some. I did have a couple meals in town in like the little tourist traps downtown that weren't so good. You got to kind of hunt a little bit. There's some very authentic little spaces that are kind of hidden down alleyways that are definitely worth the walk. And I felt extremely safe. Again, I do travel a lot solo, so I take that for what it is, but I feel like I was walking around at night quite a bit in both in Krakow in particular, and felt really comfortable in the area I was in. On my way back to my hotel at like 9 o'clock at night, somebody stopped me and they're like, "What, the bar?" Because the bars there kind of come alive later at night. Mm-hmm. It's the nightlife starts after everybody gets off work. So guys handing out little flyers to come back to the bar for the band. And I'm like, "Oh, what time does the band start?" He's like, 10 p.m. I'm like, "Oh, I'm going to be in bed." So, but maybe I'll hear it through the window.
Now, see, if I said that, you'd make fun of me for going to bed so early.
It's been a whole nother year. I'm a whole nother year older. That's and I've done so much traveling this past year. I feel like I've aged. Even going back through my camera roll to get to this, I'm like, how many continents was this ago? Like, how many countries did the Rolodex through? But Poland was incredible. I knew I was gonna enjoy myself, but I wasn't expecting to fall in love quite the way that I did. And I can't wait to go back for sure. Definitely on my list of places now. Darn it, I have to read. If I could just go someplace where I didn't find something I liked and then just completely cross it off of my list and not feel like I needed to come back, that would be fantastic.
I feel like I can always go back to spend everywhere there because I never do all of it, you know? I mean,
yeah. Well, it's impossible, and you know, you don't really want to do all of it. You want to just do enough of it to get that, you know. I definitely made time to people watch, and I feel like I ate at enough a variety of places to say that I've sufficiently sampled the cuisine and gone to the high end and the low end and everywhere in between for the booze and the art and all the things. And I did go to Auschwitz, which was the kind of the, you know, I didn't even talk about that. It was so important. I'm so glad that I went. It was very hard. It was a very hard trip to make, though, and I completely understand that some people cannot do it.
We did the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam, and it was extremely moving, but good, you know, but yeah, hard.
Yeah. Any last words, Lindsay?
Well, just add Poland to your list. Go there. Go there. You won't be disappointed. Go kind of shoulder season. I really do like March. I think I'll go back in March again. I think that was a good time to go.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. So we would love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.